Now, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I used to get in a lot of trouble. I don't know why. I just seemed to like to do it, I guess. But when I got in trouble, I knew where to go. I'd run home to Mom because it was a safe place. She loved me. It didn't matter what kind of trouble I was in. But sometimes she used a little way of getting my attention, and it sort of smarts for a while, but I always knew that I could find a safe place at home. Now, it seems like a simple little analogy, but it can be terribly complicated for someone that has to answer that question. Where do I feel safe? Not everybody feels safe in their life. Not everyone has a parent or another person in their lives that consistently provides them that feeling of safety. For many, to feel safe can feel like a priceless or rare dream, a precious gift that is out of reach. But on this Sunday, we often hear the name, as I mentioned in the book of worship, it's a festival of the Christian home. When we honor mothers, special women who have impacted our lives in a very unique and profound way, we think that of a rare, beautiful person who has made us feel not only safe, but warm, and more importantly, cherished, valuable, and loved. So honoring those in our lives this day that was set apart means for many of us a wonderful time of remembering those times when that special person was there for us. When that beloved someone supported us and lifted us up out of a dark place. A time when sharing for a few moments with our person felt like the most wonderful, most powerful gift in the world to us. Now, whether that person is still alive or whether has passed into the arms of Jesus, those memories of those safe times in their presence or their arms can still make us feel warm and cuddly inside. God created us with a wonderful brain that allows us to remember. And most of the time, we just remember the good things. We don't remember the bad things, although we know they're there too. But remembering is an important part of our life here on this earth. Even for a few moments, when we've been made to feel safe and loved, can get us through hundreds of tough times. To remember those times is often enough to help us take one more step into a particularly hard direction. Now, I would like to think the disciples felt that way. Perhaps this is why in the next few weeks until Pentecost and the Holy Spirit comes, that arrives on the day up in the upper room, the disciples spent time remembering when Jesus was with them. Last week, we saw Jesus make his third appearance to the disciples, commissioning them for the mission that he has set forth. After this, our lectionary will lead us through a series of flashbacks in Scripture that takes place before the crucifixion. Now, I would like to imagine, I'd like to imagine that the disciples huddled together, discussing Jesus' words with them in his post-resurrection appearances, and then looking back at the times in which he had explained to them what was to come. At that time, they really didn't understand him. Now, the pieces seem to be falling quickly into place. These are the disciples' aha moment. Those remembrances, those teaching by Jesus, accompanied by the disciples' real-world experience, and his resurrection would become the foundation of their apostolic theology and the birth of the early church. But during this period, their mourning had begun and it got into dancing. Their grief has become tinged with hope and excitement, acknowledgement, above all, comfort. Although they felt Jesus' strength before, now looking back at his words and his predictions, they felt Jesus magnified that strength and they looked forward to the coming of the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the one who comes alongside, which we'll celebrate in a few weeks. which could continue to be with them from the day of Pentecost forward. And then suddenly, they realized Jesus would never be gone, that he would be there forever. They'll never be alone again. That's our precious hope that we have through the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. And you think, well, he's not here. Yeah, he is. He's here in the gift of the Holy Spirit. That he would be a safe space for all who follow him, not just in their time, but throughout eternity. And no one, I repeat, no one would ever snatch Jesus' beloved followers out of his hands. We are safe with him. You are safe with him. How awesome is that when you think about it? That today, as told to us by John in John's Gospel, had to be one of the most comforting scriptures. And then we can almost hear the words, as Joanne read in Psalm 23, echoing the language of Jesus in this passage. He is the voice of God. He is the shepherd for the sheep. He will protect them, deliver them, provide for them, be with them, and all who belong to him will be entirely protected and guarded from all evil. Now, we know there's good and evil in the world. There's evil, and sometimes we have to be protected by it or from it. But the good news is if we get into it or something happens, we can say, God, forgive me. And he knows your heart. He knows that he will forgive you, put you back on the right path, and off you go. It's sort of like what Isaiah said in Isaiah 41. Fear not, I am the one who helps you. I am your shield and shade in Psalm 121. I am the good shepherd, and I are good English, your safe place, where nothing in the world or beyond can harm you or take you away. Now, we all know unless the Lord comes for us first, we're all going to experience physical death. And the good news about that, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house there are many resting places. One translation says mansions. So we know where we're going when we leave this life. We are going home to be with the Father. Eternal life. That's the promise and the blessing of simply believing, having confidence that Jesus is God. And confidence and faith are synonymous. It's a matter of faith. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. That's a powerful statement. In fact, it sounds a lot more post-resurrection than it did at the time that Jesus was teaching his disciples, because now we have history on our side. It makes perfect sense. And as we celebrate the love of mothers today, I want us to think about the attributes of God that Jesus represents in Scripture. He is creator. He is deliverer. He is provider. He is a nurturer. He's protector. He's leader. He's Jesus. And he and the Father are one. All we need to do is just listen for Jesus' voice and follow him. That small, still voice that sometimes we confuse with our conscience is God's Holy Spirit always ministering to you, because Jesus uses him to be the teacher. He will help us with our lives. He will guard us and keep us safe. And no matter what happens, in the end, we will go back to God's loving arms. Why? Why did Jesus do all that? Well, because he's a nurturer and he's our most beloved person. He knows us. After all, he created us. He sees into the reaches of our hearts and he knows the working knowledge of our mind. The devil can't read your mind. He plays tricks on your mind. He can do that real good, but he can't read your mind. But God knows your mind. He knows your heart. He even knows what you're thinking before you think it. That's how much he loves you. And he also knows this. He knows you're listening. And he knows that you will follow him. Now, it doesn't matter if you felt unsafe in this world or in your family or in society or anywhere else in your life. Jesus will always be a safe place for you. And I think all of us maybe sometimes can use that kind of safe space in our lives. Amen? Especially when life feels particularly hard. Our culture that we live in today, it's hard for all of us at times. And to find somewhere that we can truly feel safe emotionally, spiritually, and for many, physically. The psalmist said, be still and know that He is God. So I think sometimes we just need to face it. In much of our lives, we live in fear. You know, fear is something we learn. When the baby comes into this world, they have no fear. They learn fear. And you can put them up on a table when they're infants, and they'll crawl right off the edge of the table and not even think anything of it. But as we grow older, we learn about fear. And fear kind of takes over sometimes in our lives. But even for those who have family stability, loved ones, friends, we still can feel that we are living in a fear-filled culture. And in a fear-filled culture, we don't know who we can trust and for how long. Oh, we pine for different things and we ache for a face and a space that we know in our hearts that we can feel safe. And yet, truly, there is no human presence that feels reliable enough. Of course, we can run into some wonderful, compassionate people, and there's a lot of them. We're grateful. Of course, we can try our best to console and to be there for one another. But to fill the kind of holes that fear, mistrust, and grief has wrought into the years of damage and mistrust has formed, only Jesus will do. That hole in your heart sometimes, it can only be filled with the love of Jesus. When all else fails and life gets real, when our friends hurt us and our loved ones desert us, when our spirits sink and we don't know where to turn, when we question ourselves and those around us, only Jesus will do. That's what makes the church so special. The church is just not a building. The church is a people. The sanctuary is a place of safety. That's why we call it a sanctuary. We can come and encourage one another, help one another, not with gossip or anything, but pure love that can only come from God Himself. Now, Jesus knew this all along, and that's why next to His resurrection, the Holy Spirit is the most beautiful gift that He could possibly ever give us. For we will never be without Him. Jesus knows our fears. He knows our misgivings. He knows how frustrated we can feel when we don't know where to turn or who to trust. I think they made a wonderful television program about that. Who do you trust? And yeah, think about that. Who do you trust? He knows how fickle the world can sometimes feel, how lonely and isolating. But I love the buts and the ifs. But when we stay close to Him, He will hold us in God's right hand. And He will never let anything harm us. We will not only be protected, we will never be alone. Now I can imagine that this flashback, this memory for Jesus' newly commissioned disciples, was a beautiful realization of comfort. I can imagine it gave them hope and strength and renewed zeal for Jesus' mission. After all, they took His mission upon themselves, and now we have over 4 or 5 billion people in the world that love God. But these words are not just meant for them. Today, as we celebrate and we come and remember mothers and the love that we have from the church, we remember Jesus' promises, His sacrifice, His astounding resurrection, and know too that He promised the same for everybody. It don't matter where you come from, no matter what your background is, God loves you just the way that you are, because there is no other person in the world that is like you. You're unique, created in God's image. He promises that same. For once you accept Him into your life, I can assure you, you'll never be alone again. things will seem just a little bit easier and a little bit happier and a little bit calmer and a little bit safer. In fact, a lot safer. Now, Jesus taught us in the past, as we looked into when he was calling them, he said, I want you to be my disciples, but I can tell you it's a risky business. You're going to have to leave your vocation, go out into the world, and it's a risky business. The mission of the disciples will undertake the mission that we too are called to follow. They'll never yield into an easy path, but it'll always be a glorious one, and one where we'll never be alone. The strength and the power of God flows over you. And may the Holy Spirit fill you, and may God's strength in his redemptive hand restore you and give you his peace. For Christ is with you, his right hand is lifting and holding you, and know that you're beloved, and know that you're safe. And you think, okay, preacher, well, that sounds good, but how do you get to know this Jesus guy? Well, all you got to do is just like anything else. You get invited to a party, you know the person that invited you. Jesus invites you to come into his relationship, and he will come and be with you. And it's a simple prayer. Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know that I can't save myself, and I know I need some help in life, and I don't know everything about you, but I heard a lot, and if you're everything that they say that you are, come into my life and be Lord over it. It's that simple. And he will meet you right where you are, in Jesus' name. Amen.